Today's episode of the Film Stage Show is brought to you by Mubi, the online streaming cinema. For your free 30-day trial of Mubi, go to mubi.com/filmstage.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the Film Stage Show, the movie review podcast for thefilmstage.com. As always, I'm your host, Brian J. Rowan, with me today to talk about Justice League, not the Justice League, simply Justice League. We have Will Graham.
Woo!
I called you Will because I watched an episode of Hannibal the other day, and so now I'm back.
Brings me back.
Indeed, you are indeed. You prefer to go by Bill. My mistake. We also have Dan Mecca filling in for Michael Snydell.
Yeah.
Now, Michael couldn't be here today for this particular recording, but there's another reason, Dan, that you were chosen to take his place and join us. Because you and I have, like, a bit of a history with the whole superhero genre thing. You and I famously got into something of a fight over Batman v Superman.
A spirited discussion.
Yeah, yeah. That's a very diplomatic way to put it.
Of course.
But as time has gone on, and I think it was during the Spider-Man podcast that we had, I made a point of saying that I had begun to agree with you more and more the more Marvel movies I saw.
Right.
That there was at least something vaguely interesting to the utter failure of DC's creative kind of influence. And so we brought you back to see if that would hold up under the weight of Justice League. And thus,
yeah, And I loved hearing you admit to that realization during a Spider-Man Homecoming podcast. And yeah, I think, you know, it's only fitting that here we all are talking about this League of Justice together, you know, back where it all started.
Yeah. Our own Justice League, you know, a conclave has been made. I don't know. Anyway, so that's what we're here to do, and we're going to do it, and it's going to be awesome. Let me remind everyone, we can be found on Twitter at Film Stage Show, Facebook, The Film Stage Show. Find us on iTunes, give us a comment and a rating. And if you'd like to email us, podcast@thefilmstage.com. You can also get in our favor and talk to us more by joining our Slack channel by donating to our Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/thefilmstageshow and give as little as $1 an episode to help us do what we do. And you will be granted access to our Slack channel. And a bunch of really super cool raffles and whatnot. So look forward to that, helping us out. It's a great thing to do. It's a perfect gift for the holidays for us. So that is that. Should also say that we are brought to you by Mubi, the online streaming cinema. Mubi has a constantly rotating selection of 30 films for you to watch and enjoy. Every day they add a new film and you have 30 days to watch. There are some great films coming up. They've got a 7-film series dedicated to the greatest post-war filmmaker, Jean-Luc Godard. And the first film is going to be Pierre Le Fou. No one's gonna like it.
That's a good one.
It's a great one.
That's a good one. Really, really good one. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. I was on mute. It's very good.
Yes. So get all up on that. Get your 30-day trial of Mubi, and you can understand the wonder and the reason that everyone on this podcast absolutely loves it and why it's the superior film streaming experience. Again, all you got to do for your free 30-day trial is go to mubi.com/filmstage, and you will get a free 30-day trial on us. So that is that for all the incoming housekeeping stuff. I'm sure there's been a lot of movie news. It's been 2 weeks since last we spoke to you because, the Untamed episode, which is still forthcoming, it's been meeting some scheduling issues. So we're actually gonna try to record that later today.
So I'll take the blame this time around.
Yeah. We couldn't do it on Sunday. My life meant we couldn't do it until Thursday. We all thought we were locked in, and then Bill stumbled in like a newborn saying, "What?" But it's fine because as time has gone on, we've all fucked up. And like, you know, if I'd been able to do it on Sunday like we usually do, it wouldn't have been a problem in the first place.
And I think we've all learned that you can't save the world alone. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, we have to come together in order to do great things like this podcast.
Right now?
Right now. Over me, because I am the host. Anyway, so we're going to talk about Justice League, which, am I alone? Is it weird that it's not called the Justice League?
I don't think so.
No, I'm not like a comics guy, so I don't know if they usually have the definite article or not. But like writing the review for this. Hey guys, I wrote the review for this. It's on thefilmstage.com. It was weird to me writing out just simply Justice League. So I don't know, but that's just me. Anyway, this movie, directed by Zack Snyder, a bevy of screenwriters upon it. IMDb has Chris Terrio, Joss Whedon, and 9 others involved. It stars.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I know. Jesus is right. It stars a lot of people. We've got Ben Affleck, Henry Cavill, Amy Adams, Gal Gadot, Ezra Miller, Jason Momoa, Ray Fisher, Jeremy Irons, Diane Lane, Connie Nelson, J.K. Simmons, Ciaran Hinds, Amber Heard, Joe Morton. And then we finally get to the first name that gives me pause. It's Lisa Leven-Cogsilly, who I assume plays one of the Amazons that show up. Anyway, we are excited to talk about this. It is we'll get into it. For now, let's just play the trailer for the fine people at home. For anyone who doesn't know what this movie is about already.
I'll take that as a yes.
What?
The ring.
The world remains in mourning after the death of Superman. Violence, acts of war, and terrorism are all on the rise.
I had a dream. It was the end of the world.
All right, so that is the trailer for Justice League. The plot of this movie, and what could possibly constitute a spoiler within it, is dicey. Basically, it's post... first of all, also, like, extreme spoilers for every other film in the DCEU. Get that out of the way. After Superman died at the end of Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
He died?
He died. He's fucking dead. He is goddamn dead. After he died, apparently the world has been plunged into a kind of mass self-harming depressive episode. And this has awakened some sort of energy that has called forth an invasion of an extraterrestrial origin, and Batman / Bruce Wayne, played by Ben Affleck, is trying to pull together the metahumans that he saw at the end of Batman v Superman in order to form a kind of league which might uphold justice in a world beset by steampunk insectoid invaders.
Go on.
And that's, you know, That's the movie. The movie is them trying to stop.
Yeah, it's super basic.
Alien invasion that is brought about by the death of Superman. So let's just talk about it. You know, fuck it. Let's just roll right into it. There's a lot to like metatextually about this movie with relation to like what happened with its production. Zack Snyder had some personal tragedy affect his life to the point that he left post-production. And then Joss Whedon, the writer-director of The Avengers, was brought on to help wrap up production. And there were some reshoots. And there's some CGI lip where a mustache should be. And I'm sure that we'll get into that as time goes on and we talk about the quality of this film and its levels of success. But so don't worry. We're going to get into all of that. So Bill Graham, why don't you start us off? All that aside, just on a basic, you know, cinematic movie watching level, what are your thoughts on Justice League?
My thoughts are that it feels very much like this was two minds coming together and they couldn't quite agree on how much to kind of take over. From beginning to end, this film is a big giant mess. It leaves a lot on the table. It leaves a lot of questions. It leaves a lot of just the tonal shifts in this film, the way it cuts, especially early on. Some of the cuts are like super hard cuts and they feel like they were cut off about 5 seconds too short. It gives the whole first half of the film a very kind of amateur quality to it. It feels very weird. And the biggest thing here is being able to kind of recognize not even what Joss Whedon necessarily brought, because it's literally impossible to try and figure that out, even though I read like a Screen Rant article this morning that was like, here's what Joss Whedon did. And it's like, yeah, you guys are full of shit. Like, nobody knows what the fuck he did. He's not even getting director's credit for this film. So, like, a lot of this stuff is either very likely to never be known or certainly right now. I think it's got a star-studded cast. I think that's a shame because much of these people and much of these characters are kind of wasted. Apparently, J.K. Simmons got in crazy big shape to be in this film wearing a trench coat all of like a minute and a half of screen time. And there's just like that. Some of the plotting mechanisms in this film, you know, we've seen it before where it's the big guy has to, or the big bad guy has to like gather these certain things to bring about the world's destruction. And so we got to protect them. This film does that with three items instead of just one. And every single time he shows up to take an item, except for the first time, it seems like he's just like, oh, cool. Thanks. Bye. And so, like, all of this is just kind of fodder for this film to sputter its wheels just enough to get the team together and then send them off into the big battle. When we're with the characters, that's kind of when the film has its best moments. Some of the interpersonal dynamics and things like that. Just seeing Jason Momoa and Gal Gadot and some of these other actors, you know, really kind of ham it up and really have a lot of fun with their individual characteristics. It's, for the most part, it's entertaining. And for the most part, this film at about 2 hours and 15 minutes of runtime feels fairly quick. It feels almost too quick, and yet I would not want to spend any more time in this film's universe because it is such a mess. The bad guys are just nondescript, terrible. And apparently the big bad guy, and I won't name him here necessarily if, you know, you haven't already heard, but
I don't think it's a spoiler. His name is Steppenwolf.
I don't know.
He's a guy named Steppenwolf. He's between 7 and 9 feet tall.
Karin Hines, and it's like they didn't even use his like face. Like he just looks like nothing. He looks like absolutely nothing. And so there's so much of this production and so much of this film that just makes me scratch my head. But like, was I pulling the remaining hair on top of my head out? No, but it's just a mess from beginning to end. And it really kind of feels like that. It feels like a half-hearted film. But you know, hopefully these get better. I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know. Apparently it made $39 million on a Friday, which is for this film really bad. So I don't know if we'll even see another big matchup film like this. We'll see. But Joss Whedon did a heck of a job with Avengers, and I don't know if any of these films will ever kind of capture that mystique, and you know, whether even Avengers holds up now is kind of up for debate.
I didn't even like Avengers when it see, was first, yeah. So like this is, Avengers is notable for what it accomplished, which was taking a bunch of characters and then throwing them together in a fairly successful way in terms of balance. But like on a plot level, like on a filmmaking level, it was a fucking terrible movie. And like I don't know. I just had to say that. 'Cause like,
that's fine.
You know, like any kind of plaudits or lauding of the Avengers is usually like 14 steps too far. It's like a lot more than it needs. It's purely interesting in that they had all the characters in one place.
Yeah, it's almost a production marvel, right?
Yeah.
It's like wow, I can't believe they finally pulled this off.
Right, because they had to lock all those people. From a production side, it is a marvel, but like as a movie, it's not. It's,
yeah,
it's kind of, it's basic and like shot like a TV movie, and it's way too clear and plasticky, and there's not like a lot of there other than the fact that like it was the first movie to successfully make itself like a giant crossover episode, and it functions on that level, but not in a level of like storytelling or spectacle or anything else.
Sure.
All right, Dan Mecca, you who had a spirited debate with me about the quality of Batman v Superman, or at least its interest level.
Merits, right? Yeah.
What do you think of Justice League?
I liked it. I like Justice League. Is this enthusiasm real? No, it's real. I saw it earlier today, and first of all, Bill, it's 2 hours long, not 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah, it
is. So 2 hours
long.
It's exactly 2 hours, and that is is an amazing accomplishment in regards to it is shorter than all of these other movies that are so unbelievably too long. So that was nice, and you know, I was thinking a lot about these characters during this movie. And I think one thing about the DC properties that will always be a thing, at least for me, that is something that's kind of a positive against Marvel is I like the mythos and the mythology of these DC characters and the characters themselves generally more than the Marvel characters. So even in, you know, obviously there are limitations to this movie, though I did enjoy it. There are things that I just straight up enjoyed more, right? First of all, just going through real quick, and I guess I can't go too specific for some of this stuff, but let's just get into spoilers quick, not now, but soon, because I feel like a lot of this movie, it like runs towards the end once it gets going. But anyway, Batman, Ben Affleck, this might be controversial, my favorite Batman. The way the Batman character is built out in these two admittedly not amazing movies is the highlight of these movies. He's an asshole. Nobody likes him, right? He's a piece of shit. He knows it. They make a joke of it in this movie. And he's literally the two movie arc of him paying for the sins of his own hubris. I think is actually pretty super interesting. I mean, I think there's things happening with that character in these movies that maybe time will reveal and appreciate more than it's being appreciated now. And there's a couple character beats with him here that I think are really effective. Wonder Woman is a better female character than any female character that exists in the Marvel Universe. And that's a shame for the Scarlett Johansons of the world who could have crushed a better version of Black Widow.
Yeah, I think
it doesn't exist.
Just
Wonder Woman is...
I would have disagreed with you before Age of Ultron, like, destroyed Black Widow. Like, if Black Widow purely existed in, like, the Winter Soldier...
Well,
when she
it's
was
not
like
even,
part
I'm not,
of that spy
I'm
thing.
Not trying to, I'm not trying, I'm not even really trying to dig on Black Widow. What I'm saying is Wonder Woman and Gal Gadot in particular, what they're doing with that character and the level that she brings of just kind of awe and just general likability and potential, you know, there's a complexity either in her performance or in the way she's built into the world that I think works better than a lot of the Marvel stuff when it comes to that gender dynamic. And Cyborg, who I knew nothing about until this movie, and I feel like people are digging on him for whatever reason.
When you say digging, is that a positive thing or
no? Digging like criticizing him in this movie.
Oh, okay. I dig it, but more like I'm digging your grave.
Yeah, digging in more
yes,
than
digging like
on.
Not liking. Yes. Gotcha. Anyway. Yes. Okay. Yes. Anyway, the point is, what an interesting character. What an interesting character. He's a computer, right? There's a scene in this movie where he describes how he has code in his head and it's a language that he doesn't understand, and the whole idea is that he's this living, you know, this living computer. That's, to me, fascinating, right? Like, and I mean, I guess people are saying, and I can appreciate this, that the movie doesn't do enough to build this character. But this brings me to my last positive note about Justice League. It gets going. I know there's a lot of setup, but look, there's two separate ways to do this, okay? I know there's an appreciation for the way Marvel built out its world, where you had these single movies, single characters, you know, and then you got to Avengers and you felt like you knew these people. Okay. But for me, right, by the time it got to Avengers, I was waning on my interest for the stories, right? And this is kind of what we talked a little bit about this last time when I was on with Batman v Superman. You know, the Marvel movies, and maybe this will happen with these movies too, right? They've become television episodes in my mind. And that's fine. They're good episodes of television. Yeah. I just don't know that we need to spend the money to see them on a big screen. You know, like Thor Ragnarok, I look forward to watching on an airplane or on Netflix or whenever it shows up, you know, like in a rental capacity. What I liked about this was we were learning about these new people. You know, the band was together. It was, you know what I mean? It felt there was a lot here. And the plot was pretty simple, and I was basically on board pretty soon. I mean, there were plenty of weird character things and like obviously there's a Frankenstein nature to some of the stuff happening, and we can get into that more. But overall, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. And I have to say, like, it is funny. I think in the world of criticism we live in, I think sometimes decisions are made to some degree before movies come out, and that there's an element of let's get to the decision we already made the way we want to get there with this movie.
I am shocked to hear you say that, because that is the type of shit that like the cursing, homophobic, like racist DC fanboys will throw at people.
I know. I'm not one of those people, but yeah. I know.
That's just weird, like coming from an insider, a guy who's in the biz. That's a little bit.
Well, I just watching this movie this morning. What I didn't understand was, and feel free, obviously, to disagree with me. Steppenwolf isn't a great villain, but tell me what the difference is between those insect things and the insect things from the Avengers.
Well, like, I'm on record already saying I hated the Avengers.
No, I know. Like, no, but my point is what confuses me a little bit, and tell me I'm short-sighted, right? But what confuses me is the world writ large of criticism is deciding that these insect things are an abomination but deciding that in the Avengers in Age of Ultron or whatever, the minions in those movies, you know, and Ultron are somehow more interesting.
I don't think that that is true. I don't think anyone has ever really stood up for the
Chitauri.
Okay, I was about to call them the chicory, right, which I knew was wrong because that's some kind of spice, I believe. The Chitauri, I am the man who I saw the Avengers fairly early in my critical career, and for a website I had been writing for, I wrote an article that was like 10 reasons Lockout, which for anyone who doesn't remember is the Guy Pearce Die Hard in a space station movie.
Space Jail, Space Jail.
So yeah. 10 reasons that Space Jail is better than the Avengers. Like, that's where I'm coming from. So maybe I'm not the right person for this, but like, the Chitauri are a terrible villain. The fact that like every movie apparently has to be like, we need a horde of something. Cause the only reason all these people could needed to be in the same place is if there's a lot of them. Like, a lot of the enemy. And so, I thought the Chitauri were bad. I thought that Ultron and his shit was worse. Like,
yes,
Age of Ultron is a terrible movie. It is a step back from even the light pleasures of the first Avengers. The only things that give those movies any kind of life is the interaction between the heroes. And honestly, the first Avengers doesn't even have much of that. Because, like, they're fighting
each
other.
It's got them mainly bickering.
What do you think of Justice League, though?
Right, I'm getting there. But I'm getting there. So, and then the second Avengers movie had that cute little party scene. And I was like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. I'm getting it. Like, I am beginning to see why this could be fun. Because you have them, like, trying to pick up Thor's hammer and all this other stuff. And, like, it was kind of cool. It was cute. Now, that's all obviously Joss Whedon stuff. Like, that's, if you've ever watched any show that he's done or anything that he's written, that's what he loves. So there is some of that in this movie, which I presume was inserted by him. And I don't know that for certain, but I believe it is. And I think that that kind of stuff is always welcome, just because that's kind of the fun of seeing characters like this together. Like, you want to see, if you're in a movie and you're watching Superman, the Flash, Batman, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman, and Cyborg. I always forget Cyborg. I apologize in advance. You're seeing these people with these disparate powers. You kind of want them to be a little bit in competition with each other while also trying to do things to save the world. So, like, common goal, but like, the Flash is like, well, I'm faster, I can do it. And Superman's like, well, maybe I'm stronger and I can do it. And Batman says something about being a detective or something. And so, as much as I feel like I wanted that, I'm going to say a couple of things up front. I think this is a horribly put together movie. I think that in terms of the narrative, I think that in terms of the characters, I think that in terms of the special effects, it is a cataclysmic failure.
Not good.
What was that?
I said the special effects are just plain not good.
Yeah. So what did I say? Characters, narrative, writing, villain, special effects, sub-villains, they're all bad. They're all terrible. The story is nonsense. It creates issues with the timeline that has already been established in previous films related to its own actions, which is funny. It is an incompetently made film. Now, it is also somehow a better movie watching experience than Batman v Superman.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it is simple, because it moves quickly, because it finally gets certain characters a little bit more right. And you can kind of feel this uplift of like, oh, okay, they've kind of hit a stride. That being said, get ready for twist number 3. It's a lot less interesting than Man of Steel or Batman v Superman, because you can kind of feel the edges being sanded down. Like, you can kind of, it's like, It's like when a TV show has a breakout character and then they try to make him more immensely likable. Mm-hmm. So I sent out a tweet that I still think pretty much sums up my thoughts on this film, that the Joss Whedon stuff is like the ketchup on this movie. It makes it more palatable, but it also makes it infinitely less interesting. It doesn't feel as different. It feels a little more Avengers-y, you know, with its characters up front and in focus and its shitty CGI backgrounds and a blur. You know, there was a definite aesthetic to Batman v Superman, and it was overwrought and it was dark, but it was a pure vision coming from Zack mm-hmm. Snyder. And I feel like this movie really abandons a lot of that. And I think that's to its detriment, because as much as I said, like, the Winter Soldier and some of those other films were better movies than Batman v Superman, I think that Batman v Superman is a better aesthetic representation of what a film version of a comic book should be. So I don't even know. Like, I feel like I need to push back against everything that you said that was good, Dan. But at the same mm-hmm. time, like, it's only because I'm having this weird retroactive reaction where I kind of miss the ballsiness of Man of Steel and Batman v Superman. But, like, I can't deny that this is a more pleasurable experience, but I almost don't want that. You know, part of me wishes that they'd just been able to make that other thing work. Because as frustrating as it was, watching this, like, watching it sink to a level of mediocrity just to make itself work with less effort, because they have no time to actually work it out, and because mm-hmm. they have a plan and other movies to make, is a little disheartening.
But I push back. This idea of less effort, you know, and look, more than somebody who's part of the film stage and more than a film critic, I'm a producer, right? So I work with crews and I hire people and we make things, and it's obviously on a much lower level than something like this. But I always push back at that idea of like lazy and easy and, you know, just kind of this general idea of slapdash, because even if it plays like that, and I can totally understand how it does in spots, of course, I have a lot of appreciation for how they've built this movie to work within the parameters set by Batman versus Superman. You know, even in this thing of, you know, this thing that Lex Luthor does in Batman v Superman that was so stupid when it happened in Batman v Superman comes back. And I got to tell you, I appreciated the boldness of the connective tissue of the moment from that silly moment from Batman v Superman until this less silly, kind of more clever thing in this movie, in my opinion. So there are a few things like that here that I think are well done. And I think, yeah, obviously Warner Brothers put themselves into a corner because of the existence of the MCU and trying to rush stuff out. So, you know, definitely that is, you know, a self-made problem to a degree. But I wouldn't discount the work done here to make, I mean, I didn't find it incoherent in the slightest. I mean, I, you know, watching it, it wasn't like I was laughing about how, you know, yeah, I mean, obviously there's some, like, you know, tough green screen moments, you know, that cannot be ignored. And the Henry Cavill Mission Impossible 6 mustache thing is funny in its own right, I suppose. But I mean, I don't know, not a deal breaker for me. I mean, honestly,
it's pretty noticeable.
I'm not saying it's not noticeable. I just said that it is noticeable. I'm saying it's not a deal breaker. What I'm saying is, I think that this is the best Henry Cavill's done as Superman. I wanted more of this version yes. of Henry Cavill Superman, right? And
so
it took him, it took him three movies, but he's there. And my and so that's kind of where I come down, you know.
But I don't think that is something in this movie's favor. I think that is only something that detracts from the other movies. You know,
yeah, I feel the exact opposite. I feel like it. I think this movie does a pretty good job at building into the world of those other movies. You know what I mean? I think it weaves into.
I don't think it weaves. I feel like it just punches out, and then it's like a whole new thing. Like there's so many moments that flat out ignore the way that previous movies, the previous movies had set things up.
But what do you mean flat out ignore? Because there's a straight up head on admittance of the Batman Superman relationship that in this movie that I truly was impressed by. Well, the idea that Batman made this mistake.
Right.
Okay. And this movie is the penance.
But I don't think. First of all, so here's the problem in talking about this movie, is that we have to acknowledge that this movie is coming like four movies too early. Like there has not been enough build up to this movie to really support it. But one of the things that means is that it can sprint along fairly fluidly because it doesn't have to tie itself down to its previous origins, its previous lore, because there is none. But I would say that you have Man of Steel, which I stand up for. Like, I just do. I kind of liked it. I thought in terms of guy who's trying to figure shit out, it worked. And I don't really like the Zod neck snapping. I don't really like, I kind of was fine actually with the destruction of the city, because I thought that it was an interesting way to like show a superhero who doesn't really understand what he's doing. And so when they said we're going to in the next movie, like deal with the fallout of that, I was like, okay, great. That's the impetus for him to become like the Boy Scout. That's the reason that he like saves kittens from trees. It's because he wants to push back against what happened. But then that's not what happened, because we didn't get Man of Steel 2. And we didn't get a Batman film that set up Batman and his upset about what Superman did and his lack of faith in this newer, friendlier Superman he was seeing. We immediately got Batman v Superman, where Superman is a mopey asshole and Batman is a fucking full-on psychopath. And so you've taken two of these characters, you've botched the origin of one, and you just kind of fucking forgot about building up the character of the other one, because it's not even like we got another Batman who's like just a rich guy who's fighting crime. He's branding people so they get murdered in prison. He's using guns. He hates Superman to a pathological degree. Like, those are things that need to be built up. You can't just say this is Batman and fill in the blanks, because the blanks that you'd fill in have nothing to do with the character as he's portrayed on screen. After that, you then have this movie where they spend so much goddamn time talking about how like, oh, Superman, the light and the leader of our world and like our hope is dead. And I'm like, but no one liked him.
Yeah.
You brought him before Congress to censure him. Like, people in that protest scene wanted him dead or gone. And now you're telling me that because Superman's dead, I have to listen to a woman sing Everybody Knows by Leonard Cohen while people abuse immigrants and, like, neglect the poor? Like, really? That's what you're going for. You did none of the work necessary to set that up. And so this movie is ignoring everything up until the point that Superman is dug up from his grave, which is darkly funny in the way that the movie just kind of does it. And then he says a line. Oh, I guess I don't even know if this is a spoiler. I guess this is a spoiler. Maybe we're in spoilers now. But he's brought back to life and he sees Batman and he's like, oh, I know who you are. I'm going to fucking murder you. And he says that line back to him, which I thought was a good line. I think that was a good moment in the film. But the film, by this point, is already like trying to gaslight me into believing a reality that we never saw portrayed in the previous films.
I hear what you're saying. And, I feel like a common, you know, I mentioned it before. I feel like it's a common criticism, and I understand that, but I don't agree. I don't think you need it. I didn't need it. Well, I'm just telling you that when I was watching it, I didn't need it, right? Because I think part of the point of Batman v Superman, right, in its own flustered way, is that obviously humans, their fallibility makes it hard for somebody like Superman to exist in a world that's not his own, that he's better than, right? That's the whole idea of Superman, right?
Hang on, real quick.
My point is just this. So I hear what you're saying. You would want another movie that builds out this thing, okay? And I hear you. But what I'm saying is, isn't it easy to believe, and maybe once again, this is obviously my opinion. For me, it is easy to believe that a world would potentially, especially a psycho like Batman, would fight against the idea of a Superman, a God being. And then at the moment they didn't have that being, realize the mistake they made, and then fall into some sort of chaos. It makes sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay. Well,
they at that moment still believed that he blew up the Capitol himself.
I think at the end of Batman v Superman, the movie spends a minute basically building out that perceived sorrow. And I obviously not enough time for you, and I get it, but I think it's enough in this case. And look, and if it's the difference between getting four more fucking movies like this before we get to Justice League, then I would take it this way. And that's how I feel. You know what I mean? Just having the Marvel movies.
I'll do you one better. This should have just been the first movie they made.
I agree. Sure. I completely agree with you.
Get rid of Man of Steel. Get rid of Batman v Superman. You open up this movie.
1,000%. 1,000%.
Yeah. You just have someone say like, Superman is dead. What a bold fucking way it would have been to open up not just you're trying to create a new franchise and your first step is to make the team up movie. Like, that's bold enough. But then to open up and say, you know, all right, Superman's dead. And everyone's just like, what? Everyone in the audience would fucking flip the fuck out. And they'd be like, what do you mean Superman's dead? And then you wouldn't have to deal with the fact that you fucked him up and that he wasn't good. You could have just moved forward. And I think that you could pretty much keep this movie intact and just add one scene at the beginning and everything would be fine. Because I actually like Batman in this world. In terms of like his physical presence, I kind of like his like brawler stance. I think that they've finally got a costume where he can move around. The scene in this movie that kind of opens it up where he like flips himself around a water tower. You know, he looks like he looks in the comics. He looks as spry and agile as he looks in the video game. And I was like, oh my God, like that's finally a live action visual representation of Batman as I knew him as a child watching the animated series. You know, it's just kind of fucked up that the rest of the movie around it at once sucks, but is better than it had any right to be. And I am just still so confused. It's like if someone told you that they were going to murder you, but instead they shot you in the leg and then gave you a Milky Way bar. And it's like, well, now I don't know what the hell's going on.
And I just think one thing that I come away from with this movie, and this speaks to a larger point and kind of brings back, you know, Brian, you were saying I was sounding like a, you know, a DC fanboy or whatever. And I can appreciate that. But it's not just the superhero movies where this opinion comes from. I mean, you know, I wrote, for example, you know, and obviously this might lose, I might lose street cred with this, if you will. But I mean, I wrote a review for The Mummy, right? The Tom Cruise Mummy earlier this year. That was like vaguely positive. I enjoyed it, right? And I saw it before the reviews came out. And I kind of thought I enjoyed it. I thought it was like a silly little movie, right? And then I wrote this review and it was one of like five people who enjoyed the movie. And it felt so strange. Because I find myself wondering.
The reason that The Mummy had a higher rating on our site than Dunkirk?
I'm sure. Well, I wrote the review, so yeah, I'm sure. Yes, but But that's funny because Dunkirk is one of my favorite movies of the year. But anyway, I think one thing I struggle with is, you know, with a movie like Justice League, and admittedly, like I said, talk to me five DC movies from now and my tune will most likely have changed, right? But I keep wondering with our big movies, what do we want from our movies? You know what I mean? It's a real question. I mean, there are less movies that matter on this big studio scale, of course, in this world that we live in of mobile devices and whatnot. And I find myself enjoying movies like Justice League, almost despite this weird hate that comes with it. And also with something like The Mummy, like I feel maybe I'm getting soft in my old age or maybe I'm getting tired of, you know, like I said, the episodic nature of the Marvel movies or something like that. But it really is, it does confound me a little when the vitriol comes out for movies like this, where I just watch them and I think, what are people expecting when they go into the movie theater? Like I saw Murder on the Orient Express last week and I loved it. And it's got like 58%. I turn around and I'm like, why? What do people want? What do people want from these movies? I don't know.
I don't have an answer for you. I enjoyed Wonder Woman not to the rapturous degree that a lot of other people did, but purely because it had a very simple story and it executed it well. And you know, it had some visual flair to it. And it was fun, you know. Fucking Steve Trevor was a good guy. I'm a fan of whichever Chris that was, Pine, Gal Gadot, mm-hmm. Gadot. I've loved her since I saw her in Fast Five, I believe she was in. Was that right? Yeah, I think she was in Fast Five.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember now because she got the handprint from the guy. Anyway, and I honestly, I'll just go on record. Like, I think that these movies need to be simpler. Like, I think that they need to get rid of these weird MacGuffin things. Like this movie, the mother boxes. Like, who needs it? Like, what if there was just a subterranean lizard people who came up and you were like, oh, okay. Let's just fight the lizard people.
But I kind of like with this movie that reminds me, one of the things I did like is one of the things that aggravates me so unbelievably much about those Marvel movies. Is the dude Thanos, does he even have an Infinity Stone yet?
I don't think he does.
Like, what are we doing? Like,
I honestly have no idea.
So my point is simply this. What I did like about this movie, though the plotting of him achieving this was not great, is that the Steppenwolf guy, he gets the three things. He gets them.
Hold on.
One thing I have to interject here. Steppenwolf does mention Darkseid. Darkseid is the Thanos of this universe. So don't get it confused that, oh, they gave the bad guy like the big scary object. No.
But Brian, you know what I'm saying though. Do you understand?
I get it.
Quote unquote succeeded. But
you're talking about simple. What I'm saying is Brian and Bill to an extent, you're talking about, and I agree with you, and I totally agree with you. Simple storytelling. I totally agree with you about Wonder Woman, right? I think that is exactly true, of course, 100%. And what I'm saying is one of the things I liked about this movie is that Steppenwolf appears. The whole thing is, you know, a world without Superman, blah, blah, blah. I'm here. I'm a bad guy. Let's do this. I have a box. I have another box. Bang, 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 right? I like that. That's storytelling. He's evil. The other people are good. Let's figure it out. You know, there's a convoluted nature to other elements in these superhero worlds that are from the comics, and it's a different medium. And I think I appreciated in this movie, though it was far from perfect, that we're going. Like, it's like, bang, okay, our guy's here. He's got a mother box. Let's do this. You know what I mean?
I will grant you that it was kind of – you know, I was super upset at the beginning of this movie because I was like, oh man, is like this is gonna be like him getting one of them, and then the next movie is gonna be. So I was happy when he kind of got them all. I wish that our heroes hadn't been so stupid as to just straight up leave one of them,
Yeah, truly one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in a feature film. That whole thing. Yeah.
All right. Glad we don't have to fight about that one.
I truly, when it happened, I was like, is no one going to just stay with the box? Someone should just stay with the box.
He doesn't know he even has to stay with the box. The Flash could just go pick it up. They don't seem like they're heavy.
And the weirdest thing is they all go to Superman, and Batman wasn't there. And so when I was watching it, I thought to myself, Batman stayed with the box.
Yes, he's hiding.
And then it was like, no, he just shows up and you're like, oh, Batman, you should just go back to the box. Batman.
I can't remember. Do you even see Steppenwolf getting it, or do you just see his like little column?
I think you see the light. The light.
And then they're just like, fuck.
Steppenwolf light.
Yeah. So
it's the old Steppenwolf light. You know?
Yeah, the old Steppenwolf tunnel light. But here, like, I guess I'm like I've said, I'm tired of these team up movies just being, oh no, there's an army, so we need all of each other. Because like,
yeah, totally.
Aquaman,
yeah, I hear you.
He doesn't do any Aqua things in this.
Loved
movie.
Aquaman though. I am all in for Aquaman.
For
Momoa.
For stained frontman Aquaman.
The best part about Aquaman is his blonde tips. Which why? Why
does he have? You know, he lives in salt water, and that'll give you some highlights.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess he sees the sun a lot. You know.
Yeah.
All right.
He's got some eyeshadow on. He fucking loves whiskey. I can get behind that. Finally, a superhero who I can conceivably cosplay as. I've got
one
beer.
Thing. One thing we're not talking about enough is the scene in this picture where Bruce Wayne, who is Batman, it turns out, he is talking with Diana Prince, and he pours a viciously large glass of whiskey as though it were like just nothing, just like whatever, and then gives it to Diana Prince, who has no reaction, just like, yeah, okay, I'll have this big glass of whiskey. And the whole world is like that. One of the things to get negative for a moment, just to I guess make all these Marvel fanboys like me a little bit more, is there are so many. This is a thing that is in these movies generally. I don't know if this is a Zack Snyder thing or something, but there are so many weird scene ending character moments that make no sense, right? So for example, there's a scene with the Flash where he reacts to, oh yeah, when they're digging the grave, okay? They're digging the grave. And then they hit, like, he hits the grave and he looks up at stuff. And then it cuts and you go, well, what were you expect? Like, why? What is the motivation of the Flash being surprised that they hit the grave? That's they were digging for the coffin, right? Like, it's a weird, it's like there are a lot of things like that in this
sigh to signal like, all right, now we got to do the next part, is instead
choose another take. There's a lot of moments like that I didn't really fully understand. Like, even like, you know, it's in the trailer, Batman goes, he goes, you know, might be temporary, the team, right, whatever, like, you know, Jonah Jameson's like, or what's his name, whatever, J.K. Simmons, he's like, might be temporary. And then it's like, but the thing that Aquaman says, he said before, right? Like, oh, you dress like a bat.
Dress like a bat.
I dig
so
it.
Why does Batman care now? You know what I mean? Weird stuff like that happens.
Well, there's...
That speaks to what you guys are talking about, the Frankenstein nature of some of it, for sure. Yeah.
And what I'll say is, so like it's interesting, but I still am really hung up on the fact that at the end of the day, this movie is just like six people who can take a punch and met out a punch better than other people who could take a punch. Like, there's nothing about this particular enemy that seems to require anything that couldn't be like done by a tank or like, you know, whenever I think about these team ups, you know, I start to, when you're a kid, you kind of are playing these games and you're like, well, Batman is, you know, basically a detective ninja. And so obviously what you'd want would be for Batman to stumble across some sort of plan, some kind of, you know, covert thing that's happening. Like, you know, I busted up a prostitution ring. a drug ring and a gun running ring, and I kept hearing the same name, or like the same like weird green tattoo was on someone.
Yes.
So now I'm gonna do that. And then what he realizes is that leads him to Metropolis, where Superman, who's more of a like reactionary figure, is like, you know, now that you mentioned it, I have been noticing an uptick in certain things as well. And so then they're like, well, let's pool the resources that we have and figure something out. And then you would
like
expect
Cyborg.
Right, you know, like
using Cyborg to like trace this and see if other police departments have
They do a little bit of Cyborg.
Help. You would get Diana to help with like an interrogation scene, and then, you know, you would look at a building and say like, oh, you know, the blast doors, you know, once I break in and Superman, once you like hold up the strike force that will come for me, the blast doors are going to close. We'll only have like a quarter of a millisecond to get out. And it's like, well, I know someone who can move fast enough. And like, they do that a little bit. Cyborg is like playing with the hologram of the world. You know, he puts his tentacles, into some stuff, and it magically works better. But like, it's not enough. Like like I said, at the end of the day, you just have a bunch of people who are better at hitting and falling than other people who could hit and fall. And I want like a writer's room to come up with a story that like binds these particular abilities and people together even better. Like, you know, oh, like, fuck, this is about like ancient Roman or Greek something or other. Like, what are we supposed to do with this? We can't read it. And it's like, well, you know, who can? And then suddenly there they are in Paris with Diana Prince. And she's like, oh, like, this is what's going on. And actually, my mother used to tell me stories about this. You guys are going to need my help. And then it's like, okay, now we have a logical reason to get together other than I'm pretty sure aliens are going to come and fucking murder us. Let's try to get the band together. Like, that's kind of what I mean more when I say laziness, like laziness on a script level, because I understand that even a bad looking movie like this has a lot of people who are trying, and I can't truly fault them for that. But like, you can't ignore it either. But the laziness on the script level is what bums me out.
I don't know if it's laziness, though. I mean, I think if this DCEU, whatever, it speaks to anything, it's the difficulty of building out a mythology. Like, look, all digs against Marvel aside, right? There is no denying that Kevin Feige, in his own way, is a genius. I mean, really, yeah. Truly. And I mean that with all due respect. Like, as a showrunner, as a guy who loved Marvel and had a vision for what it could be and what people would want, he was 100% right, right? These movies work. People love them. I like them when I watch them when they're not on big screens and it's not where they're all fighting in an airport hangar and nobody's really trying and nothing happens. Other than those moments, I get it and I am on board, you know, begrudgingly. So, right? And I think DCEU, to some degree, speaks to how there aren't – not everybody's Kevin Feige. I mean, it's just – I mean, that there's a truth to that, really. But I think what, you know, Chris Terrio and Joss Whedon and Zack Snyder did, you know, who are the three credited writers, all the other credits are just like created by credits.
Yes, I was going to mention that. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. Thank
you. Yeah. But so my point is just, yes, there is a disorganization that can be perceived as lazy, and it would be hard to, you know, discount that. But I think they're trying to retcon a world into the world that they've already, you know, that already exists, you know? And I think, you know, I'm not necessarily defending it, but I don't know that at this point there's another choice, you know,
and that's
a business thing. And, you know, that's its own problem, I suppose, you know?
And I'm curious about the calculus that goes into this, because Marvel had none of their most popular heroes when they decided to do the Avengers. You know, they didn't have the X-Men, they didn't have the Fantastic Four, they didn't have Spider-Man. And so they had to like go semi-deep in their bench. And so it kind of made sense to like dip your toe in with Iron Man and see how that worked out. But like, if you anchor a movie with Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman, the amount of buildup that you have to do is minimal. And then you can, and then the Flash, you know, he's not as popular as them, but he's so simple. And I say this as a fan of the Flash. I should say, when it comes down to comics, like, I'm not a huge comics person, but like, I've always loved the DC ones more than the Marvel ones. The Marvel ones to me come off a little angsty. And
well, isn't that
annoying.
The general? Isn't that the general? I feel like I know nothing, but isn't
the
that the general
that
consensus?
The way that I've heard it put forth is that the DC ones are a little more demigodish and a little more arch, and that the Marvel ones, like Stan Lee, made a point of being like, these are people, but his perception is a bunch of whiny fucking teens who want to have sex with each other. Now, that's obviously me being a little glib, but I like. Like, people are constantly down on Superman. I think that Superman is a wonderful character that people are down on because it is hard to write for him. And
yes.
People don't want something that's hard. You know? You've got an all-powerful God. And because we're human, we look at that and we're like, well, what possible problem could he ever have? It's like, well, he could have a shit ton of problems. Like, that's the point, is that if you want to create something interesting with him, you've just got to drill down and figure out what that is. He's not fast enough to save two people on the other side of the world. You should point out that, like, his omnipotence makes it so that it's impossible for him to save everyone that he needs to save. He is probably... His success percentage is probably, like, 0.5%. He's doing the best he can, and it will never be enough. And that could be something that weighs on him. Like, maybe you want to do that. But people are like, yeah. Well, no one can shoot him, so he sucks as a character. But
well,
anyway.
like an easy way to just kind of put that into perspective is just to have, I don't know, some kind of mail service or something that he gets of grievances of families that he didn't save. Here's the pile of accolades that you get. And here's also the pile of people that are like, why didn't you save my child?
Right. There could be like, I'm going to throw this, like, let's pretend this is a writer's room. This is the bad idea that gets thrown out so that, like, in an hour we can figure out the good idea. Like, hashtag where was Superman? And it's just
sure. People
who are like, you know, my house burned down. You know, where is Superman? Like, you know, my dad was killed in a mugging. Hashtag where was Superman? You know, because that's the kind of world we are, where we're very selfish, where it's not good enough for us to believe that there is a superhero out there who could save us. He has to do it to us personally, or he's not, like, actually a good person. That's, like, an interesting concept. And the thing is, I like that. I like that Wonder Woman is basically, like, a polyamorous feminist, well, a guy was created by a polyamorous man. And was like a feminist rejoinder to that. And I think that that's super interesting. You know, I like the fact that the Flash is just a fast kid. He's just a kid who got his wish in a certain way and is now fast. And I like the fact that Aquaman is seemingly pointless. He can talk to fish, you know, and Batman is the world's greatest detective and he's rich and has cool technology. He's basically like James Bond, but with, I think, a better outfit. And I just feel like, The DC universe could have just started with this movie. Like I said previously, like, you don't need these backstories. You don't need any of it. You know, if you wanted to attach yourself to the Flash as an audience insert character, because he's the most normal of any of them, even though in this version they make him a little spectrum-y. And then he just, like, we know who Batman is. We know who Superman is. We know who Wonder Woman is. Like, bring us to them and have this kid who's trying to break in be the reason that they realize whatever's going on is going on. Like, don't tie yourself down to this lore. Make it be like James Bond, where there's, like, slight continuity wherein Felix will show up every now and then, but, like, not actual continuity where you have to worry that in a flashback he's not wearing the same tie that he was in the first movie. You know, it just feels like it should be easier than this, and it feels like it should be more interesting than this. And while this movie is a step forward in terms of making a movie that is fun and fast and has some, like, energy to it, it also feels like a step back in that it's lost a little bit of its personality. It's, like, becoming a little zombified. And that's aggravating. It's aggravating to me.
I don't think that moving forward that we're going to be able to break those bounds all that much until we have more standalone films, because as these movies move forward, they become beholden to what they've done in the past. And that's kind of the big issue with a lot of these things is they start to literally dig themselves into a corner. They can't go in one direction or another without basically retconning themselves. And so many of these films and so many of these, you know, multi-million billion dollar corporations are afraid of doing that, because they know that if they just keep the tendrils of continuity together, that it kind of forces people to continue to watch them, because otherwise they won't be able to watch the big movie if they haven't watched the three other little movies that kind of bleed into it.
It's not a good thing. I mean, I don't think
it's not a good thing. I'm saying literally what we're seeing here is the loss of personality, just simply because this movie is three films into the Zack Snyder DC universe. Like that's what we're dealing with. And, you know, they touch on the Amazons here, and then they even give them even more backstory than Wonder Woman. And then when push comes to shove, they're just like, that's probably too expensive to have all those other Amazons in the film, so we're just going to pretend that they don't exist and that they couldn't be helpful in this situation, even though the entire so far into this movie, even though the entire like issue of the last half of this film is there's so many of these little fucking creatures that it's hard to keep them off of Cyborg. And it's like, oh, you know what would have been a really good idea if you got the Atlanteans and the Amazonians together and were like, hey, we got to fight this big bad guy. You remember him? Yeah, y'all helped defeat him last time. Let's do that again.
Right. Like I don't understand why there wasn't a push to like unite the tribes,
because it could probably cost too much.
Why
like
they
already
like, look for that Green Lantern Corps guy again.
It costs too much to have all of those extra characters in this film, would have just cost too much. And so,
but see, I think that it's better not to have an army. That you should just have like a thing that involves like all of these people's intellect and specialties and knowledge bases coming together.
What you need and what is coming is the bad guy version of this. You need to have Steppenwolf actually have generals instead of just a bunch of putties. You need to have him actually have, you know, his right hand and left hand man or woman or whatever to actually like do good battle. And then just say, okay, you team up with this person, you team up with that person, you team up with that person, and let's go fight. Like, you know, having thousands of these things flying around and like, I don't even know what's going on underneath our ground that's like making it purple and shiny and looks like, you know, rocks
their whole like the fear thing. Like they're apparently attracted to and want to eat people who are afraid. But like,
I don't know,
you've got this
about.
Goddamn Russian family cowering in their house for like a week and a half and no one ever harasses them. And then Steppenwolf gets a little bit scared because they break his axe, and then the locusts start to chew on him. You know,
film, in a lot of ways, it's kind of a mess. And as Mecca kind of pointed out, yes, that the scene with the last box is just mind numbingly dumb. That being said, I do have to agree with Mecca, and I do have to agree with you that this really should have been the first film in this entire series. I would have loved it if that was kind of the case. And that's not to say that I don't enjoy aspects of this film just because. I do enjoy aspects of this film. I really dig Cyborg's kind of whole backstory in this film. I love that a lot.
He is so let down by his suit, his body, you know?
That is, in so many ways.
That is just a terrible looking thing. And I don't really like the flashes either. You know, I think they've kind of gone out of their way to try to make the Flash more realistic. Like, you know, Batman talks about, oh, it's the same stuff they put on the space shuttle.
Yeah, super friction.
Burning. But, like, you know, I've held that stuff. It's actually one of the most frangible, like, breakable materials on Earth. Like, it's not hard. It is a very, it's like styrofoam almost. And I don't quite understand the steel cables all over the Flash's thing. Maybe that has to do something with his electricity that he got.
I don't know.
I don't feel like I remember the Flash being like an electric dude. Like I don't understand why every time he goes really fast, there's like lightning bolts everywhere. I kind of make sense
because all around us there's electricity kind of in the air,
yeah,
right?
But
there's molecules floating of dust and things like that, and that's why lightning exists. And
I'm curious
like that.
About that because like was that in the comics originally, or is that like?
Oh hell no! Like, are you kidding me? Like so much of this stuff is now been retconned into being something that it never really was. They try and make it technologically possible,
like
in our current reality, and they've done that since about like the 80s when they started, like, science started to catch up and they actually started to become like, oh, okay, well, like, what is this, you know? People became smart enough to be like, hey, what's Flash's suit made out of? Why didn't he just run it around naked? And it's like, oh, okay, well, how about,
like,
we,
yeah,
create,
like,
a,
why,
like,
if he's running that fast, why isn't the friction causing a suit to catch on fire? And like,
that's
why isn't,
I mean,
a dust,
yeah,
mote cutting through him like a bullet? You know,
sure.
But like,
yeah,
at a certain point, in, well, I'll say, like, one of the, and now I guess I get to be a Fox fanboy for a second, because the Quicksilver scenes in like the X-Men films of late are infinitely preferable to everything that they do with the Flash in this movie, because Quicksilver is dressed normally and you don't have distracting lightning bolts flying around everywhere. It's a much more visually clear representation of what is happening.
I think it would be kind of weird if Flash was running around in like jeans and a t-shirt, though. I think
I want him in that red suit. I just don't like this permutation of it. Though I will say that in motion it is less distracting than it is on the poster.
Sure.
But it's still not good. And I, like I said, and this began by talking about Cyborg. Cyborg looks fucking terrible in this movie.
I don't know. Like moving forward, I just, Mecca, do you feel like this is a step back from Wonder Woman? I mean, maybe that's an easy question.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think Wonder Woman is doing some things that are just, yeah, like Brian was saying before, I think the story inherently is simple, character-ing in its, you know, in its own vacuum to some degree. But I don't think it's, I mean, I don't think it's a step backwards for the series. Now, obviously, it's grossed or somewhere around $96 million this weekend, which is not great for its expectations, which were like significantly higher.
That seems like abysmal.
Well, yeah. So we'll see what happens moving forward, I suppose. I mean, I think, you know, obviously Aquaman is done and, you know, they want to probably make Wonder Woman 2, you know, just given the...
Just to be clear, when you say Aquaman is done, you mean it is filmed, it's in the can. It's ready.
Yeah, they have filmed it and it is being edited, as I understand it. I mean, I know as much as anybody else. It's not like I'm, you know, an insider, but you know, I think, yeah, I mean, I think I certainly liked it more than it would appear most people did, and that's okay. I wonder what'll happen. I do think, and this is going to probably be an outlier opinion, I think if you could go back, I feel like Warner Brothers should have just muscled forward after Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds. That sounds silly, and I get that, but they made that movie. It didn't do well, but I think when you go back, them stepping back and reassessing, though probably smart in the moment, those years lost, I think, ended up being the thing that probably hurt them the most.
Yeah.
And feel free to disagree with me. I mean, I'm not saying the movies would be better. I'm purely speculating on a business thing, right? Like, and this is also another thing that, you know, one of my kind of final thoughts, I guess, is one thing that I think is hard. when I watch these movies, and this is my choice, I don't discount the business element to it, right? I mean, there's a quality, obviously, that's the most important element, but I defy you to tell me that if this thing had come out earlier on in the Marvel reign, it wouldn't have been received better. And I understand how
I think that that is true.
I mean, I think obviously people can take umbrage with an opinion like that because it basically suggests, right, you know, that criticism in this sense is not inherent to the one film. But I think it's silly to presume objectivity with these things when I think if we lived in a world, you know, not even pre-Avengers necessarily, but pre, you know, just this comfortability with one brand as opposed to another
I
think it would have been maybe, you know, reacted to differently.
I don't think it's fair to say that. I think that these movies are failures. They are failures in a vacuum. They're failures in the world at large. Now, would the volume of people trumpeting their failures be less if there weren't another studio succeeding wildly? Yeah, they would be less, because we would be able to look at this and say, well, maybe this is just the best it could ever have been. But we know intimately now that that is not true. We know that it is possible to do these well. And honestly, one of the ways to do it is just not to fuck up the characters so much. And I think that that's what it comes down to. I think that there is an anger that is inherent in the way that these characters have been treated. And I know that, like, I've never been one of those people. I wasn't one of the people trying to convince myself that The Phantom Menace was a good movie. Mm-hmm. I felt my disappointment in that movie pretty heavily immediately. You know, that last lightsaber battle aside, that movie was rough. And I was a young man when that came out. And I think that the closest I may have ever come maybe to a delusional opinion about a film just because I wanted to like it so much was Man of Steel. And I only say that now in retrospect because I saw what happened to Batman afterwards. You know, I gave a lot of leeway to that movie. You know, I was fine with like the opening 20 minutes on Krypton. I was like, you know, it was necessary to show what an alien he is. That is an alien fucking world.
Yeah, I mean, is my favorite part of that movie by a mile.
Yeah.
The first 20 minutes.
I thought it was super interesting. And then I even tried to make excuses for Pa Kent telling his son that a school bus full of children should have died. Like, you know, I was like, he's giving the right lessons, but he's applying them in all the wrong ways. And that, you're going to have to contrast that with what his father, Jor-El, is telling him in order to find a balance. Because it is unfair to ask your child to be the God King of the world. You know, he should have a private life. He should be allowed to be, you know, Clark Kent. And I, you know, like I said, I was cool. I didn't really even care about the product placement because I know that you got to get your movie made and that helps. I was fine with the destruction at the end because it seemed apocalyptic in a way that made sense. Like, if you're Superman and you can throw a train 47 miles, if you're fighting another superpowered person, you might fuck some shit up. Not only that, but guess what? He destroyed less of that city than the World Engine did. So, you know, comparatively, not too bad. And I also was one of the people who said, if you're in a city and a World Engine is destroying, like, block by block, odds are all those towers were probably empty already. And Batman v Superman proved to me that I was wrong. Like, and that's kind of distressing to me. But I, like, really stood up for Man of Steel. I was fine with its, like, you know, pseudo-Malick touches. I was fine with all of its flashbacky stuff. And I was, like, willing to let that be the wobbly stepping stone on the way to seeing Superman portrayed well. You know, people are always, like, complaining that Superman is a Boy Scout. Guess what? I'm an Eagle Scout. I'm fine with Superman being a Boy Scout. I want that. I want a purely good, like, superhero. I want a superhero who's just a superhero, who's just trying to do the right thing. And I think now maybe they've decided to give that a whirl. And I'm glad. But, like, you waited way too long, and you literally had to kill him and then act like he'd been this way all along. You know? And it's just rough, because this whole movie depends on you buying the fact that Superman was always the Superman that we love in our heart of hearts, when we know for a fact that he wasn't. You know, no matter how many times he said Martha, he was not Superman. When he died, it wasn't Superman dying. It was some other person dying. He came back as Superman, but only after he engaged a bunch of people in Mortal Kombat and then, like, threatened to kill Bruce Wayne. You know, and it's just like, it's stuff like that. It's stuff like that that fundamentally misunderstands the character, that, like, proves that they can't learn from their own mistakes. And that makes it easier to beat up on this fucking movie, because Iron Man, who most people had never heard of, has been treated with more respect than Superman. So yeah, I'm gonna be meaner to this movie because I saw Marvel do it well, and it's not fucking hard.
What it takes.
Right, but you're agreeing with me then.
Yeah. Because
you saw Marvel do it.
I am saying that you are correct, but I don't think that it is unfair to be that way.
Yeah, I don't think it's unfair either. I'm just, I totally agree. Yes.
Okay. I'm glad that I agree with you agreeing with me. We agree. Bill, do you agree?
This film, it feels rushed. All of this DC stuff feels rushed. Wonder Woman is the only film in my mind of these films that doesn't feel rushed.
Didn't really feel rushed.
Sure, Man of Steel as well. But everything else since then just feels rushed. This film, you know, it wears its heart on its sleeve in so many ways. It looks rushed. It feels rushed. The quick cuts that I mentioned, that Mecca also mentioned, you know, the weird cuts between scenes, and you're just like, let them breathe just a little bit. Like, why does this movie have to be 2 hours? Why couldn't it be 2 hours and 5 minutes? Like, let some of those scenes just breathe just a little bit more. And, you know, I don't know. This film, you know, Mecca mentioned kind of the Frankenstein situation, and I think that's absolutely correct. In so many ways, there's so many, like, good little bits in this film. There's so many good ideas, and yet you watch it all as a whole and you reflect on it and you can't help but just, like, wow, that, like, there's almost a good movie there. You know, there's like half of a good movie there, and it's just fast forward the whole time. You know, they had to just speed through this and they had to speed through that. And, you know, like y'all are mentioning, I don't necessarily think that it's a bad thing that some of the origins are necessarily sped through. It's just the interconnectivity of this film, the way it's put together, that is what feels rushed. It's not that, oh, we have to, like, speed through this origin story. Cyborg's fine. Like, he's great. Awesome. Good job. They've really never given a backstory to Bruce Wayne. He's just fucked up mentally and he's tired of it and he's bruised and he's just like, you know, Alfred's like just the guy that gets shit done, I guess. You know, so that's kind of where this film exists. It just feels like half of it is sped up and half of it is like, bravo, good job. You made a competent film. So I mean, these films are so above criticism in so many ways that it's hard to even, like, tie down, like, what actually does and doesn't work. Because I think for the most part, most people will agree that the things that work, yes, we all kind of universally are like, yeah, we love Jason Momoa. Yeah, we love Gal Gadot. We love this version of Batman in so many ways. And it's like, cool, thanks. Now, what's the actual criticism? I don't know. It feels fucking rushed. Cool. That's about it. Like, it's just like, I don't even know what to do with these fucking DC movies anymore. I just wish this company would just pump the brakes just a second and just kind of let some of these big films breathe. Because this, to me, in so many ways, feels again like Ultron. It feels fucking rushed. It feels like they had to do all of this shit together. And that was the detriment of Ultron. And that's the detriment of this film.
I agree. Yeah, no, that's well put. We have been talking about this film for quite a bit. There's a lot of stuff that we could continue talking about, but I do want to wrap us up soon. I want to just throw out one more thing. This movie, what is someone kicking a can?
Sorry, anyway. That's my water bottle.
This movie, I'm not a person who pays a lot of hard attention to movies, in terms of like the minuscule elements of the plot. A lot of things can get by me. I am a perfect movie watcher in that way. However, I am still going to be confused forever about the fact that Cyborg says that his dad tried to save him with the mother box only after Superman died because it awoke, when in BVS, DOJ, we saw a video of that very event happening pre-death of Superman.
Yeah, that's a little confusing.
Super confusing. That's about that. Any other last minute thoughts that we want to throw out regarding this movie? I'll take that as a no.
No, I liked it.
All right. That is your right as an American. So that's our thoughts on I was going to say BVS DOJ. No, just DJ. Or JL. This is JL.
Yes.
The justice has dawned, and that dawn was named League. It is the Justice League. It is out in theaters now. You can go and find it probably without much effort. Let me remind everyone at home to go to patreon.com/thefilmstageshow and give us your money, and we will appreciate it and love you, and we will give you a thumbs up in our Slack channel when you are talking to us one-on-one, live and in real time. We're also brought to you by Mubi, that is MUBI.com, where every day they introduce a new wonderful film for you to watch, and you have 30 days to check it out. That means you always have a 30 film deep rotating roster to pull from. You can download them onto your mobile devices, watch them on your smart TV, your PC, your laptop, your phone, if you're a monster. And they got some great, great, great stuff coming out. We already talked about Pierre Lefeu. They also have Paths of the Soul. And I will read here the flavor text they gave me. Tibet is a landscape rarely seen by cinema, and director Zhang Yang gracefully honors its many elements with this spiritualist documentary of a pilgrimage across the country amidst a harsh winter. This is a part of their special discovery, and it is showing right now on Mubi. So if you would like a free 30-day trial to Mubi, all you gotta do is go to mubi.com/filmstage, and you will get a free 30 days on us to explore the wonder. So that is it for today. Special thanks to our guest, DJ Mecca, helping us out, laying down these smooth tracks.
Always a pleasure to be here. Always a pleasure.
I keep forgetting to cue up an air horn sound for when you show up.
Look, I'm just happy to be nominated, you know? It's an honor to be nominated.
It's always good to be part of the process. So let's tell the fine people at home where we can be found between now and the next time that we are in their earbuds. That's an awkward phrasing. Let's move past it. Bill Graham.
I guess you can find me on Twitter. Yeah, at CableBFG. Just hanging out. Not writing too much right now. Just trying to stay on top of year-end movies, which are starting to slowly trickle in. And it's about to get crazy bananas with our film watching, because there's a lot of fucking good movies about to come out in the next few months, and that's scary.
Yeah. All right, DJ Mecca.
You can follow me on Twitter at DJ MECCA, and that's it, man. Just, you know, happy to be alive.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Brian J. Rowan. You can find me writing my personal site, dearfilm.net. I wrote the review for Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. I did do that, but I also wrote the review for the Justice League, just Justice League, on thefilmstage.com. And yeah, that's it. That's all I'm going to give you today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us, and tune in next time. Thank you.
Thank you.